Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Suraksha Diagnostics Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Pooja Swami. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Hina. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited. From the management, we have with us Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, Chairman and Joint Managing Director, Ms. Ritu Mittal, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ravindra K.S., Group CFO, Mr. Niren Kaul, Chief Sales Officer, and Mr. Balgopal Jhunjhunwala, Regional Business Head. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in this today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Now, with that, I would like to invite Dr. Somnath Chatterjee for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I warmly welcome you to the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Suraksha Diagnostics. During the quarter, we added three new centers to our network, including one PPP, one large, and one small center. With these additions, our network grew to 63 centers at the end of September 2025, including two centers of Fitomat Wellness, which were added in Q1 FY26. During Q2 FY26, we launched Suraksha Genomics to provide advanced genetic and molecular testing services, which was a landmark event for us. This foray into advanced genomic testing can also be leveraged to deliver prenatal care. We will continue to assess various growth levers going forward as we look to innovate and position ourselves for future growth. With that, I will now invite our CEO, Ms. Ritu Mittal, to elaborate on the operational performance and updates during the quarter and beyond. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Chatterjee. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to everyone on the call. For Suraksha, revenue growth has remained strong, reflecting sustained demand and successful market expansion supported by strong operational execution. We are seeing sustained strong margins across our mature centers, reaffirming the profitability potential of our model. The near-term EBITDA impact from new center additions is a strategic investment toward increasing our footprint and driving long-term margin expansion. 33% of our centers are not matured yet. In fact, 15 centers are less than one year old. As these centers scale and reach optimal utilization, we expect strong operating leverage and margin expansion in the long term. The investments in new centers will drive strong future growth. Q2 performance was impacted due to heavy rainfall and floods and early festivities this year. As guided earlier, we are confident of achieving 15% revenue growth in FY26 and EBITDA margin between 33%-34%. We are on track to adding 12-15 centers this financial year, as committed earlier. We believe that given our scale and deep knowledge of the market, our dominance in Eastern India will persist. Even at current levels, the market remains under-penetrated and offers compelling opportunities to enhance our footprint and catalyze the next phase of growth. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ravindra K.S., who will provide insights on the company's financial performance during Q2 FY26.
Thank you, Ritu ma'am. Good afternoon to everyone and thanks for joining us. I will take you through an overview of our financial performance for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2025. In Q2 FY26, the total income stood at 795.8 billion, which showed a growth of 16.9% year on year, driven by higher patient volumes and network expansion. EBITDA grew by 1.9% year on year to 249.66 million. With the margin coming at 31.7%. The margins during the quarter were adversely impacted by heavy rainfall and floods as well as seasonal festivities. The Durga Puja festival occurred in September 2025 this year, impacting the business in Q2. However, in the previous year, these festivities were in the month of October 2024. PAT for the quarter reached 88.28 million compared to 101.56 million in Q2 of FY25. Consequently, our PAT margin during the quarter reached 11.2% compared to 15.2% in Q2 of FY25. In H1 FY26, the revenue rose by 17.8% year over year to reach 1530.72 million. This was the first time that the company revenue surpassed 1500 million in the half year period. During the first half, the company generated EBITDA of 496.22 million, which shows an increase of 7.3% year over year. The corresponding H1 FY26 EBITDA margin was 32.8% compared to 36.3% in the previous period. EPS in the first half of the year reached at 3.53 compared to 3.43 in H1 of FY25. In FY26, the number of tests performed reached 4.13 million compared to 3.29 million in the same period in the previous year. The number of patients served increased to 0.71 million compared to 0.61 million in H1 of FY25. The revenue per patient increased to 2,120 rupees compared to 2,099 rupees in H1 FY25, while the EBITDA per patient fell to 695 compared to 761 rupees in H1 of FY25. Despite the minor challenges in Q2 of FY26 in terms of profitability, we will revert to our previous higher margin level for the next few quarters, especially as our centers gain scale and achieve maturity. Our matured centers have a higher profitability profile compared to the relatively newer ones. In terms of profitability, our 42 matured centers have an EBITDA margin of 37 to 38%, but our 21 new centers, out of which 15 centers are less than a year old, impact the overall EBITDA margin. As our new centers mature and economies of scale set in, we expect our margin to return to normal levels. With a higher top line momentum, we will seek tighter control on costs, which should lead to improved margin as we expect margin expansion in our mature centers. Here we conclude our remarks for Q2 and H1 FY26 conference call. I would now request the moderator to open the floor for the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mihir Singh from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
One second. Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Yeah. Hello everyone from the Suraksha team. So I was going through your numbers. I saw in H1 FY26, your test volume like grew by 25%, whereas our revenue has only increased by 18%. So I just crunched the numbers. The realization per test in H1 FY25 was 389, which has reduced to 364 rupees. Like, what would be the reason? If a new center opens, do we give a discount on the test to gain traction? Like, what would be the reason of the same?
The revenue as well as the EBITDA per patient as you can see, there is a marginal increase in the revenue and there is a small dip in the margin, I mean, EBITDA per patient. That is mainly due to number of patients which have got increased for the existing centers.
No,
that is one of the
reasons. I am asking about the realization per test. The realization per test was approximately 390 rupees in H1 FY25, which is reduced to 365 rupees. What would be the reason for that?
The realization per patient you are asking?
Realization per test. Per test. Not per patient, per test.
So that is, this is because, like you rightly mentioned, we do give discounts in the new centers that we set up to for traction of patients. That is one. And second is we have increased our B2B business, if you will see, by 1%. And that normally consists of packages. Therefore, realization, discounted packages, therefore realization per test is a little lower.
Okay. Okay. And ma'am, like in this quarter, our other expenses increased to 32 crores from 28 crores in the last quarter. Like, were there any one-offs or seasonal factors?
Yeah. So let me take this question. So normally my other expenses as a percentage of sales, which ranges from 35% to 38%. So current quarter we are at 40.5%. So if you proportionately, if you sales, if you consider the expenses, if we are increased by around 4 crores, the 4 crores is mainly due to the rental expenses for the expansion, which is contributed around 80 lakhs. And also there is an RCM, reverse charge mechanism under GST, which has got introduced in November 2024. On account of both the reasons, there is an increase of 80 lakhs. And there is a professional fees to doctors, which has, because of that, there is a 1.6 crores of increase. Because there is a minimum guarantee which we have paid to the few doctors, and also the OPD engagements have increased during the current reporting period. And the third important line item would be the professional and legal fees, because after listing, we are supposed to, you know, BSE, NSE and also NSDL charges have increased, which was not there in the previous half year ended. And the last but not least is administrative expenses, which has grown by 1.1 crores, which is due to additions of centers, which is around 12 centers, which has got opened recently.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. I had, this answers my question. I had another question. Like, ma'am, how, like, you opened 8 stores in this quarter, and some stores also get closed. So, ma'am, how do you go about, what is the thought process behind closing, like, a store? Like, how do you guys decide, like, now this plug needs to be pulled off on for a particular store?
See, we have closed one HLM, which was a small center set up within a hospital. Okay, so now they set up their own show, which was for 5 or 7 years that we ran the thing. They set up their own diagnostics and therefore we shut it. Second is when we open a big center close to a small center, because we see potential for a big store there, then we shut the small center, because otherwise it will be cannibalizing the own business.
Okay. Okay. So ma'am, in the next 3 to 6 months, do you see any stores being closed also? And like we've guided for, okay, no. Okay. Because we've guided for 9 new center additions, so we could see that on a net basis as well.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Wish you the best. Have a good day.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pradhan from Maximum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. I hope I'm audible.
Yes,
so can you give the salience of your B2B versus B2C, you know, revenue mix for this quarter and for H1?
Yeah, so our B2C is 93% and B2B is 7%.
And this is for this quarter, right, ma'am?
This is for first half.
H1.
First half. Okay. And in B2B, ma'am, what do you usually consider a part of your B2B?
So B2B are basically hospitals and nursing homes that we have a tie-up with, and it also includes corporate business that we do with, you know, big corporates like Reliance.
Got it. And on this test, basically the revenue realization is a bit lower than the B2C. That understanding is correct, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then second, what is the mix of our radiology versus pathology versus any other advanced tests that we do?
So our radiology is, I think, around 46%.
48 and 52.
40.
Radiology is non-path is 48, pathology is 52.
In terms of trend, ma'am, has it increased year on year or has it in any...
Excuse me, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, the radiology salience, the mix has increased year on year or has it remained...
No, it remains the same. It remains the same.
Okay, ma'am. And the final one regarding to your comment on the margin impact due to heavy rainfall and festivities. Can you elaborate a bit more, like what exactly happened? Like, was it due to low testing done
so
during this quarter?
No,
or
so there was the whole city was having torrential rainfall and obviously a lot of flood happening in the city. So we don't expect patients to travel then. Neither do we expect doctors to be practicing. Therefore, you know, 4 days we practically were doing 10% of our regular business.
Got it. Because of the
and,
you know, closure.
And also then, you know, therefore you will see even the mature centers have taken a little bit of a hit in the EBITDA because even these mature centers were, you know, flooded. So obviously there won't be patient footfall.
Got it.
Puja was in September this year, but then that is something we had accounted for.
Okay.
But the major impact was because of the torrential rainfall.
Okay, but in terms of like, you know, the testing and the, you know, the fevers and all, on those things, you didn't see any kind of, you know, downtrend this year, right?
Okay. No, not at all. In fact, we were doing very well before this rain and flood hit the city. We were very, very bullish and we were really tracking good numbers. But then, you know, 4 days out of 30 makes a big impact.
Got it, ma'am. Ma'am, on the second comment on the investment into your new centers, can you elaborate, like, you know, what are these investments like? Are they training your, personnel or, you know, hiring more doctors? If you can just elaborate, you know, what the model that you operate in and, you know, what kind of investment that you're talking about, which is you're doing in order to, you know, ramp up the, you know, revenue side as well as the margin profile of these new centers.
So we have been talking about investing around 70 crores every year in making new centers organically. So typically, you know, a new center will take time to get the EBITDA margins. So therefore, you know, I have also mentioned a graph where we show that our centers which are mature. So we consider any center which is above 2 years to be mature. So we have a EBITDA margin of around 37% to 38% for these centers. But we also have 33% of our centers which are relatively new and not mature yet. So therefore, their margins being much lower dilute the overall margin for us. But this is only in the near term. If we think about long term, our mature center margins are very much sustainable. And in fact, as the economies of scale set in, even our old center margins will expand a little.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prasenjit Paul from 129 Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the GST front. So first of all, as we all know, the diagnostic services are exempt from GST. So no GST at all from the patient. But after the 22nd September, what happened? A lot of medical input price, the GST reduced, like for the MRI machines and all, I think from 18% to 5%. And then there are many inputs like chemicals, medical kits for pathology testing and all. There also the GST reduced from 12% to 5%. So while I understand for the equipment part, MRI and all, I think your CapEx would be a bit less for those reduction. So now I'm talking about those medical kit, raw material required for the pathology test. So do you see any kind of cost reduction in this month, like October, November, December, due to this GST rate cut?
22nd September. So in the first of all, second quarter, it is effective from 22nd September. And the impact of GST, as you rightly mentioned, on the CapEx, it will get capitalized along with the item. And as far as revenue expenditure is concerned, we are giving healthcare service. Our healthcare service is exempt from GST. So we are not eligible to take any input credit on the services, whatever we render. As far as OP pharmacy is concerned, we are charging based on the new rate, based on the new MRP after the GST changes. As far as IP and service is concerned, so the same rate we are going to continue.
So my question was a bit different. So I know that you are not able to take the input credit. Any diagnosis player can't do that. My question was, while you are procuring those inputs for a pathology test, maybe medical kit, some chemical reagents and all, so do you see any reduction on those price? Because on those price, earlier there was a 12% GST on those, and now it reduced to 5%. What about the raw material purchase for those pathology tests? So do you see any kind of reduction on your raw material price, input price, those are used for the test?
Yes, we do see a reduction, but what we have to understand is that our total cost of goods sold is around 12%-13%. And therefore, a little bit of impact of that GST from 12% to 5% is not very meaningful as far as our business is concerned.
Yeah, I got it. So now the next question is, as you are expecting over the next few quarters, your overall EBITDA margin will go back to the 33%-34% kind of range.
Yes.
But even for the next two, three, four quarters, the new centers will open, CapEx will be there, manpower, all the costs. So how you can foresee that the margin will increase over the next two, three quarters?
Because we also have a big corporate cost that we incur, okay, which is the cost of running the head office. This gets divided amongst all the new centers and the old centers. Therefore, we expect as the numbers scale up, we expect this cost apportionment going down across all centers. Therefore, I'm saying there will be a margin expansion even in my mature centers.
Okay. That's nice to hear. And finally, regarding the PhotonAssay, the genomics division, so any idea what's right now the revenue per store and the margin? I guess those are the high margin business.
PhotonAssay has been. We have started PhotonAssay as an acquisition recently only. The thing that is genomics to be established in full force will take a little time. We are taking our steps in the right direction. We have for the H1 noted around 55 lakhs of revenue, and we are very much on track with this genomics business. And as and when we launch new and new tests, the business will start growing. A lot of confidence is being shown by the market towards the local Suraksha brand in the east.
What's the margin on that business?
So as of now, till we achieve some economies of scale, so any margin, well, citing any margin would not be right at this moment.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Siddhant Kanodi from ASK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. My first question is regarding the losses which we incurred from the new centers. Can you tell us what was the amount for this quarter?
Amount for the quarter?
It is around 3 crores.
3 crores. And what will be this for the H1?
This is what I mentioned was H1 only.
Okay. And for the quarter?
3.0. in terms of revenue, it was around 1 crore 37 lakh. I mean, what we have incurred was 13 crores, against which 3 crores was the EBITDA loss.
3 crores EBITDA loss for H1 you mentioned.
Yes.
And for the quarter?
I think we don't have that number, but for H1 it is around 3 crores.
H1 is around 3 crores. Because as far as Q1 was concerned, the amount was close to 4 or 5 CR. Like in the previous call, ma'am had mentioned 3 or 4 CR. So
the losses would basically keep winding down. You see, some of our small centers break even quite early.
Yeah.
And they having been made in our core geography, some of the losses have winded down. While, of course, newer centers have opened, which has added to it.
Right, sir. Sir, and in terms of the center breakup, like in the last, in Q1, we had opened 8 centers and we ended FY25 with 55 centers. So if I add 8, it will be around 63. And then we closed 3 centers, so 60. And then we added three new centers plus the 2 Fetomax centers. So our total should be 65. Am I getting the math wrong?
Total centers as far as standalone SDL is concerned is around 56 as on 30th September. Okay, if you include triple P model, what we have around 4. So 56 plus 4 is 60. If we have AIR, which is 1, 61, and there is a Fitomet which has got added 2, so total comes to 63.
Right. And in terms of our H2, sir, can you just shed some color? How are we projecting H2 in terms of revenue and margins? Will it be better than H1?
See, we have always been talking about 15% growth year on year, which is what we want to commit to. And our EBITDA margins at around 33 to 34% for the year. So we are very much on track. And the quarter two was a little impacted because of the rain. But we expect to get back to our original figures.
But what will be that amount be in terms of the loss because of floods and Puja?
No, Puja was accounted for in fact, but the floods must have caused a revenue shortfall of around 3.5 crores.
Yes, exactly.
3 to 4 crores. Okay, ma'am. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Hitesh Sethi from Ventura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. So my first question would be on the, what would be the, you know, guidance on the number of center additions year on year basis and with bifurcation with the small, medium and the large centers and the revenue per center as well.
Okay. So we plan to add 5 big centers this year. Out of that, 2 have already opened and work is going on in 3 more. For small centers, we've already opened 4, 5, 6, 7 and work is going on in 6 more. So 7 plus 6, 13 small centers, 5 big centers.
And what would be the revenue per center, like if we are opening a new center, right? So how much time the turnaround would be there and how much revenue would be expected in any year?
So we are overall expecting this year to give me a revenue of around 22 CR from new centers.
Could you give me a breakup per center from the big center as well as small centers?
So normally a big center in the first year would do somewhere around 1.5 to 2 CR and a small center, if it runs for the whole year, will do a revenue of around 90 lakhs.
Okay, ma'am. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Chirag from CB350 Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are audible to us.
Yeah, so hi everyone. So during the first half of the year, the number of centers openings are below the run rate required to reach the 15 to 18 centers annually. So, like, what were the factors that impacted this center openings?
So one was definitely the rains that slowed down work. This year it has been raining a lot in Kolkata. Second is because of the festivities coming in earlier, the government offices were shut, so therefore we could not get the relevant licenses. That got delayed, though our centers were ready. We are in fact still ready with 3 centers and waiting for licenses to open. These were the major factors.
Okay. So, could you just throw some light on the number of centers that have achieved the break-even, and of those, how many were opened in less than last 12 months, about a year?
33%.
Mr. Somnath Chatterjee, are you there?
Yes, we are there. Just
yes,
give me a moment. We'll tell you how many centers are. So less than a year are 15 centers. I will tell you how many centers out of them have broken even. Seven centers out of these 15 have broken even already. And 8 are yet to break even.
Okay. That really helps. So, and on a different note, like, are we actively looking for PPP opportunities, and if so, then how many PPP centers do we plan to open in each particular year?
So we typically don't look to open PPP centers, but since we are the largest in our region, sometimes we have to open when the government tells us to, but we don't go actively looking for PPPs. So the only PPP we have signed off for now is one MRI center in the biggest medical college of Kolkata.
Okay. So for FY26, what would be the CAPEX plans, like, and how would you be set aside for, like, acquisitions, and are you actively looking for inorganic growth opportunities?
Yes, we are. And we have a fairly under-leveraged balance sheet. So if required, we can always raise debt. But right now, whatever we are doing is through internal accruals.
Okay. That helps. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Hitendra Pradhan from Maximum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm sorry, my line was cut off earlier. Ma'am, just wanted to ask, like, on your point on the operating leverage from your corporate expense, like the head office and all. So can you elaborate, you know, what are the expenses you are putting under the corporate expense? I mean, the labs and all, like, those are also some of that cost also under your corporate expense, or if you can, you know, give some
color. Yes, so our reference lab is under corporate expense, and so are all the seniors and the expense that we incur at the HO. And, you know, our lab has a capacity of doing 2.5x the number of tests it does today. Therefore, we talk about operating leverage, because as the volumes increase, our margins will become better. Since there is no more cost to be incurred,
Right.
The setup is already done.
Okay, ma'am. And the final question is on, you know, what was the rental cost incurred during Q2 and H1?
Q2 and H1?
Yeah.
H1 we
have
incurred 11 crores. H1.
Okay. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raj Patel from SMG Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Few questions from my side. So first one, I would like to know about the EBITDA. So could you give us some color that what led to an impact on the EBITDA from the various factors such as flood, floods, Durga Puja or any other event?
Like I mentioned, we were impacted to a tune of around 3 to 4 crores of revenue because of floods in the city. And 3 to 4 crores of revenue would have contributed very strongly to the EBITDA margin. And therefore, the EBITDA margin is muted in Q2.
Okay.
Durga Puja is something you already knew is coming in this month. So that is not really very impactful. But it definitely impacts the revenue a little. But that was accounted for. What was not accounted for is the flooding of the city.
Got
and
it.
And therefore no footfall. Yeah.
Yeah. So my next question was, could you throw some colors as why there was increase in the other expenses?
So I will ask my CFO to answer that for you.
So if you look at our trend as far as the percentage of other expenses is concerned, it just varies from 36% to 38%. So current quarter, if you see, it is around 40%. The main reason would be the rental expenses in proportion to the revenue, which has increased by around 80 lakhs. So overall basis, if you see, is around a 4 crores of jump, which you can see. So out of the 4 crores, I'm just giving you the breakup. For rental expense increased by around 80 lakhs and professional fees to doctors have increased by 1.6 crores because of the minimum guarantee and other subsidiaries which have got added as a during the H1. And professional and legal fees has increased after the listing, which was not there in H1 of previous year, which has come this year. That also contributed around 80 lakhs. And there is administrative expenses which has increased because of the expansion of centers, which has contributed around 1.1 crores. And last, around 25 lakhs we have incurred as for discarding some old CT scan machine, which has come as a other part of the other expenses. This is what is the breakup of other expense of 4 crores, which has increased during the quarter.
Thank you, sir, for providing the breakup of the other expenses. That was really insightful. My next question was, what were the other factors that lead to the fall in the margin well below the 34% from the current level? And how much was their impact?
So the margin, majorly it is because of three reasons as madam explained earlier. So the revenue impact of 4 crores and the new center expansion, which has resulted in a few expenses, and also the performance of some subsidiary which will pick up in coming quarters.
Got it, sir. And in H1 FY26, the EBITDA by patient has been fallen while the test volume have jumped. So was there any offer pricing discount to drive this test volume, and could we expect such discount pricing strategy moving forward to drive the volume?
So we always do give an introductory discount when we open a new center to drive footfalls. Okay, so that is one reason. And the second reason is because we have increased our B2B share of business by 1%, which is normally a little discounted business, and also it consists of a lot of packages. So these are the two factors that have contributed.
Okay. And my last question was regarding the future guidance. So over the next 2 to 3 years, what is the level of the top line, EBITDA margin and the PAT expectation could be?
See, our top line, we would carry on increasing 15% year on year. our EBITDA margin, I believe, should increase by 1 to 2% every year. And PAT margins should also increase by 1 to 2%.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Prasenjit Paul from 129th Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you once again for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, like, as per your the store addition numbers, so in this FY26 itself, yeah, the store number will increase by around 30%. Next year, again, if we go for 15 around, so it will increase by another 18%. So considering around 30% increase in store addition, don't you think this 15 to 20% revenue growth will be a bit conservative side for this year or even for the next year, considering numbers are, number of centers increasing by 30% odd?
See, we are also going into new territories and therefore we don't expect the revenue to grow consistently across all centers. And we would definitely want to be more conservative in our approach with numbers.
Okay. Thank you. I hope we'll be able to grow even more than the guidance. Finally, the last point, like, I'm also from Kolkata. We experienced the dance and all. Just a personal feedback, humbly, I also may be wrong. As diagnosis is an essential, service, so even for rain and all, if I delay my test for one day, I think I will eventually do, even if it gets delayed by one day or 2 days. So in fact, in the last month itself, due to rain, I just delayed my test just by one day, but ultimately I did it from Suraka itself. So maybe,
but what happens, Mr. Paul, is a lot of, at least 25 to 30% of our patients are from outside. You see, they come from the districts. So, if there is a delay, if there is a problem because of the rain, they will actually not travel to Calcutta. They will get it done locally.
And
so that's a loss.
Also, business is impacted a little because when the city is flooded, even doctors are not practicing. So if doctors are not practicing, prescriptions are not getting generated.
Got it. Okay. Thanks a lot. And wishing you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mihir Singh from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You are audible.
Yeah, yeah. Ma'am, I wanted to know, like, what would our same store sales growth be for the same centers sales growth be for our matured stores?
Our mature centers are growing at around 10%.
Ma'am, that's what, even I agree with the previous participant, the growth guidance that they are giving is very conservative, like 27% stores will be added in this year and 10% is existing same stores sales growth. So like,
see, new stores take time to ramp up.
Okay.
So you don't expect huge sales out of new stores.
Okay.
But yes, the guidance is definitely conservative and we would like to keep it that way.
That's not a problem. And now, like, how do we ensure that, like, say for example, if I have done a test with Suraksha, how do we ensure, what is your repeat customer rate? Like, do you track that data?
Yes, our repeat customer rate is around 30% year on year.
And ma'am, do we
incentivize? 1% doing the test, 1% coming within 1 year is considered a repeat patient for us.
Ma'am, and do we incentivize repeat tests in any way?
No, we don't.
Okay. Ma'am, could that be a good strategy? Like to incentivize.
In fact, we are working on some loyalty schemes, so we are developing a software. We are in the process of developing a software where loyalty scheme will be active, but it will take at least 2 more quarters.
Yeah, ma'am, I think it might be a good thing. That's it. I wish you continued success. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akash Shah from Investec Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. I just had one question, ma'am. So you have guided for 12 to 15 new center additions for FY26. But in response to one of the questions of the earlier participants, you said that you are in the process of opening 5 big and 13 small centers. So, you know, 12 to 15 and 5 plus 13, you know, 18, those numbers are not matching. Could you just help me with the same?
So I am not considering, so when we say, when we talk about 15 to 18 centers, we are talking about Suraksha centers. We, I'm not really considering Fitomat or AIIR. I am only looking, or the PPPs. I am talking about 12 to 15 own centers. And if you add the PPP and Fitomat, then it adds up to 18 or 20. That's the way.
Okay, okay, sir. Okay, thank you, ma'am. And ma'am, my second question is with respect to the operating EBITDA margin, you know, on the basis of aging of centers. Now, this has been given in your presentation, wherein I can see that, you know, the newer centers and centers which are aged less than 24 months, they have improved their EBITDA margin, but mature centers have seen a reduction on their margin. Now, let's say if there is any one-off like rains or floods, it impacts every center, right? It's not, and not just the mature center. Could you just give, you know, highlight on that piece?
Yes, so I was, so for the new centers already the volume is pretty small as far as revenue is concerned. So even they are impacted by rain, but still because they are on a major growth phase, the impact does not affect negatively. But when you are, when we talk about the mature centers, and unfortunately three of our very big centers in the core geography got flooded. So 4 days impact was there, but other than that also, because you know some machines go out of order, so to repair it again takes, you know, maybe 7 to 10 days. So even that business for that department is impacted.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's it, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dheeraj Shah from RJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. Firstly, it's about your B2B revenue mix and how do you see it to be going in next 2 to 3 years and what are your anticipation on the margins for the same? And additionally, do you see this current mix to be changing going forward?
Yeah, so our B2B business will definitely increase going forward. Also on account of the genomic lab setup that we've done. This business generally comes from hospitals and nursing homes. So our B2B business will definitely be going up, but as we scale up our genomic business also, we don't see margin impact in the long run.
Understood. All right. And secondly, what are your plans in expanding into newer geographies and do you feel the markets in which you currently operate, are they matured? And if so, if you're looking for expanding into other geographies, what would be your strategies that you might employ to penetrate into those geographies?
So we are definitely entering new geographies and our strategy is if there is an established player, then we would like to go for inorganic growth. But if not, then we would set up our own centers. Like Northeast is practically vacant, so we will go for new center setup. Whereas, you know, if we were to look at adjoining states where there are some players, not very big ones, we would like to acquire them so that we are known in the geography and we can hit the ground running.
Understood. And any comments on if the markets in which you are operating, have they matured? If you could throw some light on that.
They are mature, but there's still a lot of scope. You know, you can keep penetrating deeper. Like there are districts where you can actually set up 12, 15 centers, where we today currently have, you know, maybe 4. So there's enough scope to keep getting deeper into the territory.
Understood, understood. Also, on a different note, this was about the acquisition of Fetomac that you have done. So by when do you plan to acquire the remaining stakes of the Fetomac? And what would be your strategy to grow the brand and maybe increase the awareness among the customers? If you could throw some light on that.
Yeah, so we would probably acquire the balance stake in three to five years. And the strategy going forward is to give these fetal services in, start these fetal services in some of our own centers. So that there is no, you don't need to incur extra cost, but you can get some additional revenue. And you can reach the patient closer to their homes.
Understood, understood. Also, this was about genomics. How do you plan to acquire new clients, particularly in the genomics segment? And would genomics testing services take time to pick up in India, would you think so? And will this be particularly driven by recommendations of doctor, or would it just be driven by the demand from the patients? How do you see that moving forward?
So I'd like to answer that. So genomics has a huge potential in East because we are the only commercial genomic lab over here. So the relationship with the doctors, the existing relationship and the equity we hold with the doctors helps us a lot in reaching out to them and, you know, telling them that this lab is closer to home, and their engagements will land directly to our people who are conducting those tests, so that any in-depth awareness of the patient situation can be immediately correlated with the actual patient condition. So this helps a lot, and this gives a lot of confidence to the doctors in and around East that somebody who is, you know, conversing with the vernacular language is having a discussion with them. So a lot of confidence amongst all the doctors who are prescribing these cases. So these cases all go out of Kolkata right now. So we are, you know, gradually and on the right foot addressing all the queries that the doctors might have regarding, you know, their comfort that they want from the lab in terms of our capability and our in-house awareness on the subject. So we are establishing that every day, and we are very sure that it will make a good impact in the region.
Understood, sir, understood. And lastly, do you plan to initiate paying dividends going forward?
Yes, we are still working on it. But we definitely do plan.
Okay, okay. All right. Thanks for answering my questions. All the best for the future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As this was the last question for the day, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Somnath Chatterjee for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for attending the call. We hope that we keep up the great work that we are doing here in Eastern India and turn up superb numbers in the second half of the year. Things look extremely bright, especially with the addition of the genomic lab and the rapid expansion scheme taken by our CEO, Ms. Mittal. So we wish you all the best and hopefully can fulfill all the expectations that the market has from our group. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Suraksha Diagnostic Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.